Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends today's reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your presence here among us today, the love we have for one another and this place. We ask that you would bring us a word today that each of us needs to hear in our walks with you. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So imagine, if you will, that we are floating together in a boat when darkness descends. The wind picks up, and suddenly we are being cast about. We can't see where we're going. The waves are coming on board, soaking through our clothes, and leaving our skin cold and clammy. Glasses are fogged, contact lenses and hearing aids are washed out, and cell phones washed away. We have no life jackets or flotation devices, so there's nothing to grab onto aside from an oar, the boat itself, or one another. For those of us susceptible to seasickness, the nausea has already begun to set in. And for all of us, disorientation, panic, anxiety are creeping in, overtaking our consciousnesses. Our fates, it seems, are sealed. But then we look up upon the sea and catch sight of Jesus walking toward us, his white robe glowing, reflecting the moonlight. Now you might expect this to be a comforting sight, and anywhere else it probably would be, but the first century sea is chaotic. It is both alive and populated by spirits, living spirits. In Genesis, God had seen fit to create domes on the top and the bottom of the earth, to hold the chaotic waters at bay and keep safe all the living things God was about to create upon the earth. And just a few chapters later, God's angry floodwaters spraying the newly boundaried earth, swept back across the earth, destroying all that precious life except Noah's family and the menagerie of coupled animals. Haunting images which lived on in the people's collective imaginations, memories. Distant and relegated for many of us to the territory of myth today, but nevertheless revived for us in news footage of the 2004 tsunami in the Indian Ocean, and then more recently the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Given all the death and destruction the sea has wrought over the years, is it any wonder that the disciples initially mistook Jesus for a ghost? It's helpful to contextualize and put on compassionate lenses when approaching this narrative. Otherwise, we might be led to believe that the disciples were wildly overreacting to their situation. It's also significant to note that we are in the Gospel of Matthew, not Mark, meaning that the disciples are generally portrayed in a favorable light, not necessarily with the frequently disparaging tone of Mark's gospel. And where, I might add, Peter doesn't venture out of the boat at all. And so I have to wonder why we have so often been led to believe that when Peter stepped out of the boat, walked toward Jesus, then sunk, Jesus immediately chastised him for his scant faith. Not only does that reprimand feel harsh under the circumstances, but those words can be and have been expanded and translated into all kinds of dangerous theological and secular messages. As in, if only you'd had more faith, your illness would have been cured. Or if only you thought more positively, you wouldn't have found yourself in whatever unfortunate predicament, sick, bullied, marginalized, jobless, homeless, hungry. Positive thinking only attracts positive things into your life, don't you know? These are Pollyanna-ish messages that effectively blame victims and deny the many factors in life that are quite simply beyond our control. If Jesus is chastising Peter, then we might take away from this story the perception that Peter was just plain foolish and should have stayed in the boat with the rest of the disciples, far safer than in there, out there upon the stormy sea. And in fact, some have characterized the boat as a metaphor for the church. And this, in fact, comes close to St. Augustine's interpretation of the sermon he preached on that text. He, in fact, did believe the boat was a metaphor for church. And when the adverse winds rage, he believed we ought to stay in that boat and cry out to God for help. That, in Augustine's book, that is faith. What was Peter thinking? Of course, Peter does have a somewhat impetuous reputation throughout the Gospels, rushing in and acting or speaking before fully thinking things through. Must have been an extrovert. Yet this is the same man who would be the rock upon which the church was founded. Human like the rest of us, yes, but mustn't he also have had some admirable traits worth emulating? We automatically assume that when Jesus said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" he was being critical of Peter. And yet isn't it just as possible that Jesus was teasing Peter, the only one of the disciples who trusted enough to first speak to the ghostly Jesus and then to step out of the boat and move toward him? We don't know what Jesus' tone of voice was, do we? It's like, you know, emails where you can't tell if someone's mad at you or just trying to spare the words. But what we do know is that just a chapter earlier, Jesus related the following parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And we know that three chapters later, in chapter 17, Jesus would extol faith the size of a mustard seed as transformative, capable of moving mountains. All of which makes it hard to believe that Jesus would criticize Peter for the little bit of faith which led him into a raging sea to meet his teacher, friend, and savior. Could the boat still symbolize the church? I think so. The boat is a fine place to be with fellow disciples. But we must not fearfully hide out here. We can grow and practice ministry here with and for one another. But the raging seas outside our doors call out to our attention, for our attention as well. And Jesus coaxes us out of the boat to see the world as it is, have compassion, and reach out our hands to help. Not to say that any of that will be easy. Forces and circumstances like gravity, undertow, and politics will pull us down and leave us feeling sunk from time to time. But it's no excuse not to practice the faithful boldness of Peter and Jesus alike, bearing in mind a couple of things. First, that Jesus came out upon the sea to calm the sea and his disciples after having spent time and evening in solitary prayer upon a mountain. He had fueled up and had plenty to spare and to share. He was a non-anxious presence, otherwise known as an NAP. Nothing like an NAP. And the second thing to note is that Peter was able to step forward and eventually become the head of the church with just a pinch of faith, just a mustard seed of faith. A little bit goes a long way. So perhaps it's possible that this entire story cycle represents the life of the church and its members. May it be so. Amen.